Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This is the second week in our new series for a new year, and we're talking about the unexpected, as in unexpected. When something unexpected happens that is positive, we call that a pleasant surprise. When the unexpected is unwelcome, it can be anything from jarring to overwhelming, depending upon the circumstances and the seriousness of the circumstances. We make plans, but life doesn't always go as planned. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it isn't. But why do some people seem to survive and even thrive in times of unexpected problems or challenges, and others don't? Why do some rise to the occasion and others fall short or fall apart? Take two different people in exactly the same challenging circumstance. One becomes better and the other bitter. At the same time, some people grow closer to God during times of crisis and others move further away. Take different people in the same unexpected event, and one will use it to grow closer to God and deeper in their faith, and the other finds their faith fragmenting. And these questions are important questions because our faith tells us that God wants to use the circumstances of our lives, all of them, good and bad, positive and negative, to grow our faith. So he'll permit, sometimes even prompt, unexpected problems or challenges so that will grow in our trust for him. In fact, it is exactly in times of the unexpected that God can work most effectively, because he's got our attention. Of course, by definition, we can't plan for the unexpected. We can't plan for it, but we can prepare for it. There are habits and disciplines, lifestyle choices that we can predictably choose to grow closer to God. As a parish staff, we work hard to communicate the importance of those practices and to make them easy and accessible for you. We call them steps: serving, tithing and giving, engaging in a small group, practicing prayer and the sacraments, sharing our faith. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at how to prepare for the unexpected, but also what to do when inevitably it arrives. Because what we do with the unexpected is a key factor in growing our faith. Last week, we talked about two lessons that we can learn from Scripture regarding this topic. First lesson: people who grow in faith in unexpected circumstances grow because they're connected to a community. That's why we talk about the importance of having a church family and of joining small groups. Lesson number two: people who build their faith in unexpected circumstances see the problem or challenge as an opportunity to grow. They see the problem as an opportunity to grow. Today we're going to add to that list by looking at Scripture and also a personal testimony that we'll be hearing. The passage we're looking at is taken from the prophet Isaiah. It's always read on this feast of the baptism of the Lord because it's looking forward to the baptism of the Lord. Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ and the history that we read about in the Gospels, but so much of his writing describes the life of the future Messiah that his book is often called the Fifth Gospel. And the passage we're looking at today is really quite beautiful in its poetic imagery. Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. Isaiah's been inspired by God to write about the coming servant of God will send, who, of course, is Christ. God delights in this servant. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench until he establishes justice on the earth. This servant will work to accomplish the will of God, but in a way that is entirely gentle. A reed is a brittle plant found in the marshlands. A bruised reed would be even more fragile. Isaiah says this servant will act in such a way that he wouldn't even break a bruised reed. But I, the Lord, have called you for a victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand and formed you as a covenant, a light for the nation, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. This servant will not only act with gentleness to people bruised and beaten up by life, but he will work in a positive and effective way too, bringing justice, opening the eyes of the blind, setting prisoners free from prisons, both physical and spiritual. God is acknowledging that there is pain in the world. There are people who have been bruised and beaten up by others or just by life itself. Sometimes we're the ones who are wounded. We can be blind, not knowing what to do in an unexpected crisis. We can be imprisoned, feeling like we have no good options in the face of some major problem. God is acknowledging there is pain. There is injustice. Those problems don't catch God off guard. That is why he sent his son, to bring justice to an unjust world and healing to a hurting world. But what does this have to do with our topic, unexpected? Well, from Isaiah, I think we can easily learn a third lesson here. People who grow in faith in unexpected circumstances accept the reality that God is good even when life is not. God is good even when life is good. God's goodness, some people come to pain or problems and believe that those pains and problems somehow discount God's goodness or even competence. And that's certainly understandable because when we have problems, human nature dictates, we want to blame someone for them. It's okay to blame God. He can handle it. You can get mad at God. He can take your anger. However, the presence of pain does not make God a liar. God has already acknowledged, as we've seen in Isaiah, problems, pain, and injustice. The stories of Scripture are made up of people who over and over again experience problems, pain, and injustice, and through it respond to God's invitation to solve injustice, to right wrong, to bring relief to pain and healing to hurt. People who grow through unexpected problems know that God has not betrayed them when they suffer. They know that struggle is a part of the human condition and Christian living. The Lord never promised us an easy life. He promised us a significant one. Which brings us to a fourth lesson that we can learn. People who grow in faith in unexpected circumstances eventually identify opportunities to use their pain to help others. They identify opportunities to use their pain to help others. God never wastes a hurt if we'll accept the opportunity it presents. Perhaps an opportunity to be more compassionate, to be kinder and gentler to others who are suffering. Perhaps an opportunity to serve in some way that God is calling us to serve. We see this played out throughout Scripture, and we can see this played out in the story of my friend Pam O'Neill, who together with her husband Tom are parishioners here. Perhaps you've met them. They serve in the cafe. Several years ago, they experienced the unexpected in perhaps the most painful way of all. Take a look.
Christopher was our second oldest son, and right from the get-go, he was just a cute, smiley, happy little boy. Just loved being with people. We always called him our people person because he related so well. He was 17, had just finished his junior year at Loyola. It was June 12th. My husband Tom and I had left that Friday to go to California for my nephew's graduation from UCLA. We were going to be there for the weekend. And of course, I had a babysitter. And so I gave Christopher, I said, okay, you have to be in at midnight, just so that the babysitter will know you're here and she can, you know, relax. And so he had a friend pick him up that night. They went to a party, a gathering of other friends. Come midnight, nobody really wanted to leave that early to take him home. And he saw outside a boy he knew in a car with a girl that he liked. And so he asked if they would give him a ride home. And he got in the car, and within 2 minutes, the boy lost control of the car and flipped it over an embankment. And Christopher hadn't put his seatbelt on yet, so he was thrown through the back window and died at the scene. We, of course, you know, came home. You are in a state of shock, a little numb, and that helps you get through the wake and the funeral. And then you're left with, okay, why? What is this? I think that's what challenges the faith. It's like, okay, well, where is he exactly? What concretely, I wanted to know, where is he? What happens? We did meet a couple shortly after Christopher died, and they had lost a son 15 years earlier. I remember them telling us that grief was the only thing that starts out huge in your life, and it gets smaller and smaller with time. And that little nugget, yeah, we held on to for a long time, and in fact, that is, you know, true. Even though at any moment you can, you know, bring back the tears and the missing, but things do get better. After Christopher died, we wanted to do something in his memory. And so we established the Christopher O'Neill Memorial Fund. And the purpose of that was to support programs that encourage successful teenage development. And that summer of 1992, a friend of ours who lived in Massachusetts, her son went to a high school there. She met this Dr. Charles Deutsch, and he started a peer education program at her son's high school. And she said, you really should meet with this man. So he was coming through Baltimore, and we met with him, liked everything he had to say, and this peer education was training older teenagers to go in and talk with younger kids about teenage issues. So we went to Loyola High School first, talked with Father McAndrews at the time was president, and he went to the guidance department, and they said, yes, this is something we're really interested in. And the very next year, they, you know, started this up and training some juniors and seniors, and they would go into middle school and talk with those. Then it went from juniors and seniors talking with the freshmen. And so that was 26 years ago, and it's now in 15 of Catholic and private schools in the Baltimore area. And his friends were in those, you know, schools, and then we'd hear back from peer educators that, you know, they'd come back, and then they were teachers now, and they're, you know, involved in peer ed. So it's helpful to do something in his memory that helps others and hopefully makes a big difference in Baltimore teenagers. When we first lost Christopher, we didn't know anybody. Then, after that, within the next year, there were like two or three boys at Loyola who had died. So I got together with those moms, and we started this, you know, we'd get together, and the first time we went to this restaurant, and must have sat there for hours, and people there were bringing us tissues. You know, it was, I kind of smile and I think back on it. But that little group, unfortunately, has grown now. And there are always new, you know, new moms that come. And I think that's, you know, it's helpful. But it's just amazing, you know, how big that has gotten. You know, in time, things do get better. You do see the joy and love all around you. I know there will be other trials and tribulations along the way, and I just pray that, you know, we can get through those. But I do know that Christopher is in a better place, in the best place, and we'll see him someday, and, you know, all will be good.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.